Well, we are thinking of and planning on our revival, and I don't like to go too very long in our Wednesday night prayer meetings without bringing our attention back to prayer. Vince Lombardi, Cheryl, finally came up with, he was the football coach who every year gathered the people that had been playing with him for a long time, and the first day, first words out of his mouth were, "This is a football. It's so many inches long, big around, weighs so much, and all this stuff, so many pounds of pressure. Get back to the basics." And so as we come to a series of lessons dealing with the importance of prayer, a fairly simple study, we want to ask, what is prayer? Prayer is a little different, a little interesting. Man in all ages and in all places has prayed. If he had to make up a god, he would pray. But this is interesting because it is so diametrically opposed to the man's attitude of proud self-sufficiency. I can do it myself. Then why are you praying? See? And let's ask ourselves, we know what prayer is, but let's ask, what is prayer? And let our own heart and mind answer that. I think the best final answer is prayer is communion with God. We sometimes forget that prayer is not mere wishing. I remember the story that Mr. Craney told about when one of the boys was a little baby and the militia was in the room. He was around the corner waiting. They were in there. And the baby was just crying. I don't know, laying on a cold table or something. And he was just unhappy, crying. And he found himself saying, come on, you can, you know, quiet down there, calm down. Come on. It's like, yay, rah, I'm a cheerleader. And then he got to thinking, oh, what am I doing? That's nonsense, you know. I should pray. Who was?
The child was in the hospital.
Well, at this very moment, he was in the hospital, and the nurse was doing something to the baby, and he was not incarcerated in the hospital at this point, but doing some sort of checking thing. And so here he was around the corner, not saying anything to them, and he just bowed his head and prayed to God. And immediately, the baby quieted down. And that was so immediate that he kind of laughed at the coincidence, that just as he was praying. Well, then over a period of time, the baby started crying again, and he prayed again, and the baby quieted immediately. And this was such a ministry to his own heart, kind of a rebuke, you know, why didn't I go there first? He was asked militia about it later. He said, "Did you notice the baby?" He said, "Notice? We looked to see if the baby was strangling or something. It all of a sudden just quieted down. It was just peaceful." There is the answer that God is pleased to give. So, you know, the world, I think, makes wishing the same as praying. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true, you know. A star? What's a star? It's a thing up in the heaven, you know. They have this in their heart. They just don't know what it means. So prayer is speaking to God. But on a deeper level, it is a communing fellowship with God. You know, I meet people and I'll say things to them. I'm talking to them. When my wife and I were on our little getaway and we were sitting at the restaurant, we were talking, but I wasn't, you know, informing her about something. She wasn't teaching me a lesson. We were communing in fellowship together. We were just sharing things and encouraging one another and so on. And that's what prayer needs to be. We need to have this concept in mind as we go to prayer. One popular preacher, dead now, but so he knows better now, but actually said in his book on prayer that one of the reasons he prayed was to let God know what was happening. I don't know, if your God is that little, why are you praying to him, you know? John Gill, back in the early 1800s, said this: prayer is the breath of a regenerate soul. As soon as a child is born into the world, it cries. As soon as a soul is born again, it prays. Where there is life, there is breath. Where there is spiritual life, there are spiritual breathings. Such souls breathe after God, pant after him, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. I had heard this concept given by many preachers, and I think this is probably where they got it. He was quite a bit before Spurgeon, so... What a glorious thought. You know, you don't have to teach a baby to cry. I mean, they spank the baby to get them to cry, but they don't have to teach them what that's all about, you know. Crying is one of the things that happens automatically with a baby. And I think, you know, we don't have to pray to get saved. That's not an action, a good work that we have to do. But we do it automatically, just as a baby crying. So prayer is communion. It is that sweet speaking fellowship with God. And then prayer is commanded by God. This is not something that we should say, oh, I don't know whether I want to bother God about this stuff. You know, no, it's commanded. Let me just give you a few of the many. Jeremiah 33:3. What does he say? Call unto me. And what will happen? And I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty, the King James margin says, or hidden things, which thou knowest not. Always interesting to me that the answers to prayer are not always what I thought they should be or would be. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 9:28, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray for the salvation of the lost. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Energize the spirit over the flesh by praying. You see, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean you can never can do anything else. It means don't set aside prayer out of your life. Paul cries out, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the evangelists. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. This sounds like a little different, but all of these are the same Greek word, the same Greek tense, which is all commandment. Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. And praise and prayer often go together. Third thing that I want to share with you out of the four is that prayer is asking God for help. Let's not beat around the bush here. We are encouraged by God to go to him when we need help. Perhaps the most vivid story of this is in Exodus 17:8-13. Listen to the story with me. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. I think that's interesting. At one point it was the rod of Aaron, remember? Then it was considered sort of the rod of Moses, now it's the rod of God. God does stuff with that rod. The rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. They couldn't do much night fighting. They didn't have any Israelites. But he fought. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him for a chair, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Here's the people who help others in prayer. The one on one side, the other on the other side, his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Why would God do this? Why would God make... Christ tells us to pray in private. Here he's doing it on top of a hill. Why would he do this? And then with such a distinction, the hand is raised in supplication. Our guys win. The hand goes down. The bad guys win. We know why he would do that.
Joshua and all the soldiers could see it from
here. That's right. This was the lesson. This was it. You are not winning in your own power. You're doing the work. You're taking the risk. But winning, it's all of God. We need this lesson, don't we? We can't depend on talk radio to win the battle in America. They can keep telling us what's wrong. But how could we succeed? And the answer is with God. We need to raise holy hands before God. Now, I say holy hands because many of us grew up understanding that if we really wanted something from mom and dad, we needed to be in a good relationship before we asked. You had to work really hard and try to be good all day. So my mom wouldn't say, just wait till your dad gets home. I hated to hear those words. So prayer is asking God for help, and it's also getting ourselves into a condition where we're worthy of answered prayer. If the first thing that God needs to do to us is spank us, we're not in a good place for him to answer our requests. Well, finally, prayer is the normal and expected response to burdens and to heartfelt joy. You remember James chapter 1, and he says, you can actually rejoice when you get into troublous times. Why? Because God's behind that. God is allowing that, and he wants to do something in your life. So is it a burden? He wants to develop in you the ability to bear that burden. And then you'll have the joy. And who will you thank? Will you wrench your shoulder out of place trying to pat yourself on the back? I did such a great job. No, we will thank God. And so both the burdens and the praises. So burdens, Isaiah 59:16, this is an amazing verse to me. He, God, saw that there was no man, and he, God, wondered that there was no intercessor. Why would God wonder about that? Because he had commanded prayer. He had taught them that victory came through prayer, through him. And here they were in dire condition, and nobody was praying. I suppose they were trying everything else, just like we do today. We're going to try a new program. We're going to try a new system of outreach. Well, praise the Lord for that. But what about going right to God? E.M. Bounds said many, many years ago, what the church needs is not a new or better program. What it needs is men of prayer. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The burdens become great. Take them to God. You already know he cares for you. He wants you, has commanded you to bring this to him. He has prepared the way. You are allowed into the throne room. The throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, thankfully. But we are to come before the throne of grace in prayer. But it's not all burdens. Sometimes it's a joy. C.S. Lewis, I think, had a little book he put out, Surprised by Joy. It has a couple of meanings, but interesting that he would be surprised by joy. And so the other part of prayer, one that I try to start my prayer with praise, is praise itself. 1 Chronicles 16:4, how important was this for the people of the Old Testament? He appointed certain of the Levites, the religious guys, to minister before the ark of the Lord. How important is that? That's the very place of God's presence. And to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Record here seems to be recording God's blessings. Count them one by one. Again, 1 Chronicles 23, verse 24 and 30, who are doing this? Again, the sons of Levi. These were the sons of Levi, after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, who were counted by number, by names of the poles, and so on. And then it says in verse 30, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Imagine an entire worship system that begins the day with people, he had thousands of these people doing this, praising God, reminding us that there's so much to thank him for. And every evening before they go to bed, they could hear the praise and thanks, perhaps the singing of praise and thanks to God. Psalm 33:1, here's the command. Rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say feel happy. You can't always do that. That's an emotional response, you see. But you can choose to rejoice. And here is the command. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely. It looks beautiful on you. Praise is comely for the upright. Who's getting this work done anyway, you see? There's an entire theology of thankfulness that says, oh, it's not me. Not me, O Lord. It's you. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. And so was anything good today? Was anything good in your travel by car? Was there anything good at the workplace? Of course there were difficulties. But was there anything good in this sin-cursed world? Thank God. So both the burdens and the praises. This is the work of prayer. So as we come to the time of revival, it can't work unless God does it. We need to bring the people. He's given us that, told Joshua to go out there and fight. We've got to go out there and try to get some people. I want you to cast about in your thinking the group of people that you know that might be influenced by what you say that you can invite to come. People that need a better church. People that need salvation. People that need a personal relationship with our Lord. And then try to bring them in. Comments, questions? What is prayer? What is prayer to you?